the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
We want to meet somebody who has been on the program a number of times as Professor of Law at University College Cork, an expert in family law and also particularly the rights of women. But we want to talk to her about her own personal story, because today she is very involved in the launch of an awareness campaign about a condition called lupus, which she has lived with for a long period of time now. Louise Crowley, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks, Matt. Lovely to be on.
Tell us, first of all, just before we get into the details of your own personal story, just what exactly is lupus?
So lupus is an autoimmune disease where, in effect, your immune system, which would ordinarily, let's say, tackle the flu or whatever is wrong with you, it actually turns against your own organs. So it can attack your joints, in my case, my kidneys involved and my lungs. And what it does is it acts as I suppose a force for bad in your body, and it can be very crippling. It's a chronic illness, so it is not curable, but it can be managed.
Because if it's not managed, will it be fatal?
Yes, it potentially is fatal, and that would happen where, you know, it's exacerbated and it gets into your kidneys or your brain. It can happen, or your heart. So where it becomes very active, it can be fatal. Absolutely.
And is it very painful to live with?
So, yeah, I would be in pain every day. My joints, more recently, my muscles aren't great since, you know, as I get older, it gets harder. So I have lung problems every day. So caught for breath, I wake up nauseous every day. And also from the medication that I take, headaches would be very common as well.
How much medication do you have to take? How many tablets do you need to take every day?
Well, I'm on 17 different medications. I take about 15 tablets a day. Yeah, 15 or 16. And then there's a tablet I take three times a week, which is an antibiotic that I'm on permanently for my lungs. And then once a week, I inject with a high-tech med for my arthritis. And then obviously painkillers and other kind of tablets as I need them.
Okay. How long are you living with this condition?
Since I was 17, so do the maths, I got it in 1993, so about, 33 years.
So tell us when you got it, and this must have been an incredible shock to you as a 17-year-old to be diagnosed with this condition. Did it take long for it to be diagnosed?
Well, I was very lucky because it's typically women, so maybe like 90% of lupus sufferers are women, and typically people can go for years and have their symptoms somewhat dismissed or maybe diminished on the basis that they're fatigue or stress, whereas I had very prominent symptoms that are very typical of lupus, particularly the hair loss and the joint pain and this very bad butterfly rash on my face. And I was seen by a doctor who was recently qualified, Dr. Kyle Condon, who at the time was still a registrar, and he was able to spot it very quickly. I guess he was only out of college, so had the learning, whereas it was historically a condition that was very slow for people to diagnose. So when I was diagnosed, within a matter of months, honestly, I kind of didn't know what it was when I was told I had lupus. There was a lot of unknown. There was a lot of kind of also a lot of fear, because there, you know, one of the first things I read about, I say this in the interview for Arthritis Ireland, is that I had 8 to 10 years to live. So historically, lupus was a condition that would probably be fatal. And so it's only with, I suppose, more modern times, with medicine catching up and, you know, consultants doing specialities in lupus, that there has been adequate research and understanding to allow it to be, as I said before, managed.
17, going into your leaving cert.
Yeah.
It must have been utterly frightening, was it?
It was. I was repeating my leaving cert, actually, in the College of Commerce. I wanted to get law, and it was in just the early spring, so January, February, when the symptoms were very problematic. And it was very frightening. The unknown was very frightening. But also, this might sound a bit strange, but I was so focused and determined to get my points for law. I just did whatever the doctors told me to do, and I just put the head down and studied and fell asleep and, you know, did what I could do and just stayed focused on what I wanted, and that was to get my Leaving Cert points. So it was really only after the Leaving Cert when I was brought to St. Vincent's in Dublin for a while for them to really properly explore, because I couldn't give them that chance because I had to do my study and do my exams. So then I went to St. Vincent's, and then it kind of was all explored and better understood in terms of where I was at. So it was very challenging. And from a personal point of view, as a 17-year-old girl, so I lost my hair. They put me on 60 milligrams of prednisolone for 4 months every day so I could get through my exams. So whilst that allowed me to do so, you know, I put on about 3 stone in a matter of months and lost my hair. And that was very difficult for me as a young woman. So that would have impacted on me personally. I'm a great girl to take the meds, so I'll just do whatever I need to do. And, you know, I would rest and I would study and I would have fun when I could. But, you know, life was limited because of my energy and my capacity at that time. But, you know, I just was very focused, I guess.
But how difficult did it make your college years? Because when you're going into college and you're making new friends and, you know, the social scene is a major part, and certainly was in UCC, I'd imagine, in the 1990s.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We had a great class, the class of 96. So it was fun when, and this might sound silly now, but if I didn't look in a mirror, I thought I was grand and I would drive on. And then, and this sounds superficial, maybe it's more of a woman thing to understand, but I never felt like myself. And I do remember after first year going up to the student records office and asking them to give me a new photograph because I looked so awful in the first year photograph. I couldn't bear to have that as my student ID, and I had to convince them that I needed it. And this is just a little, you know, silly, but it's an example of how I was so unhappy in myself physically, I suppose. And I suppose we can't underestimate that for a teenage girl going into college.
Absolutely. It doesn't sound silly at all.
Yeah, no, it was hard. And then things like, you know, I couldn't go on the J1 because A, I'm allergic to the sun. So I haven't been in the sun since 1993. And B, I couldn't go there for 3 months and take the chance of, you know, if I got unwell, or I couldn't work 5 days a week. There was just no way I could go over there and work in an ice cream bar or something. I wouldn't have been able. So I took the mature decision to stay at home. So things like that I would have missed out on because you know, I was limited in what I could do, but I still had great fun. Let's not lie about it.
And you mightn't, from my notes I'm told, you mightn't have met your husband if you had gone on the J1.
This is true. And I wouldn't be living up by Bishopstown GA Club now, would I? No. So I did meet him when they were all away. And I did say in the video Arthritis Ireland that, you know, this was a huge turning point for me in my life because it, you know, John was brilliant and there was no question but that I was amazing and he loved me, and it just gave me that strength that I know I didn't have when I was in college, and that sort of sense of self-belief, which was really important. And he to this day is just very understanding and hugely supportive, and he knows when I'm not well. He knows before I know. Sometimes he knows by the way I hold my hands that I'm not well, and will just step in and support me all the way. So, you know, our lives as our family, so we've 3 fabulous children, Clodagh, Neil and Jack, and we made choices over the last, you know, 10, 12 years to simplify life for me. So, you know, we live next to the boys' school, Colossus Bridnave, so they literally have 30 seconds to get to school. We live overlooking the GA Club where the boys in my life spend their lives. And so I don't have to drive people places. You know, it suits me. So we created a life whereby I have people, the neighbours, the moms who will step in if I need help. And my own family are just incredible in terms of, you know, their understanding, and mum and dad, just whatever I need. It's just great. So it's all about, I have found, making good choices for myself, particularly as I get older. So, you know, since 2018, I've had stage 4 kidney disease. I've had serious issues with my lungs. So they're now at 70% capacity. It's small issues with my heart. And then I had a terrible, terrible COVID experience in 2020. I was in the CUH for 50 days and nearly didn't make it, but I did eventually, and came out in a wheelchair on oxygen for 3 months. But because of my lupus, there was just no way. It was pre-vaccines. There was no way my body could fight it. So since then, you know, I have muscle atrophy. I fall a lot. I have poor balance, and I'm very slow to heal. But having said all of that, the medication is fabulous. And, you know, I'm not very good at it, but I try to live life at the right pace. I do too much at work. I know I do, but I love it.
Louise, you've been on this program a number of times before. I would never have guessed at any of this when we were talking to you about the various things. Do you mind if I ask you, though, you know, given that, what age are your three children now?
So Clodagh will be 20 in December. Neil is 18 and Jack is 14.
Okay, were you, did doctors ever tell you, because you have lupus, that you shouldn't have children?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, well, so when I was diagnosed, you know, the general consensus was if you have lupus, it's probably not a good idea to have any children. So we weren't going to. Then when everybody, all my friends started having babies, I was like, oh, I want one too. So then I decided, look, we'll go for it. I remember John was very hesitant and I got pregnant with Clodagh and actually had a really good pregnancy. But I do remember she was due on Christmas Eve and my consultant induced me early because he said, nobody wants you over the Christmas holidays because I'll be away. And so he just sorted me out. And then Neil was okay. You know, I was more tired because I was older, but with Jack, it was a problem. It was a big problem. I was very unwell and would have spent the last 6 weeks on bed rest. And my consultant wanted to sign me off at 12 weeks. And I said, no, I'm too busy. And then she wanted to sign me off at 20 weeks. And I said, no, I'm too busy. So I agreed at 30 weeks and I went to bed for 6 weeks. I watched the full West Wing and then they induced Jack 4 weeks early because my placenta wasn't working anymore and he was actually shrinking in my womb. So, you know, when Jack was born, I was fairly shook and my mum and my mother-in-law bottle fed him for the first 6 weeks because I couldn't get out of the bed. But since then, you know, everything comes around and I take the time to get well and off I go again.
And tell us about work though, how you developed your career, because given the symptoms and everything and given the pain and the rest of it, how difficult was it to work your way up to being professor of law at UCC to also author textbooks?
Not easy, I'll be honest. I love my job. That's the first thing to say. Go in every day, love it. I did qualify as a solicitor, but knew very quickly that I would have been dead if I stayed. I certainly couldn't have had children and it would have been a very difficult life for me because of the nature of it, the stress, the travelling, you know, all of that, the huge demands physically as well as mentally. But I was publishing whilst I was qualifying. So, you know, going into academia was actually my dream and I made that choice in 2020, joined on a 1 year contract and I've been there since. So it has been hard. You know, when I have a busy day at work, I go home and I might just get into the bed at 6 o'clock and that'll be me for the rest of the day. I do spend a lot of weekends in bed recovering. I suppose the nature of my job, it's more mental effort than physical effort. So if I'm very tired, I have a couch in my office, I will lie down. But I'm very good at getting up. I'm a morning person. And, you know, when I eventually get in, it does take me a while in the morning to get going. But once I'm in, I just drive on and I find I do what I have to do. And then I could go into my office and close the door and just fall asleep. So I don't know how you I'm a bit mad. But then I do pay the price. You know, I would be in pain in the evening. I would be absolutely wrecked. Climbing the stairs can be a problem, you know, so it's just a trade-off. You know, I love my job, so I just keep doing it. But I pay the price outside of that then at evenings and, you know, social events that I'm just too whacked to go to, so I just don't go.
Are there many people in Ireland living with lupus, Louise?
So they say 4,000 to 5,000, but it's, you know, there could be many more not diagnosed. And there are also then all the related autoimmune conditions that exist. But for lupus, 4,000 to 5,000, and it's predominantly women. And women tend to get it at puberty, like when I was 17, that kind of hormonal time in your life. And then again, they say during pregnancy or at menopause. So it seems to be linked to hormones. It is also genetic. So I had an aunt who had lupus. Unfortunately, she died at 58. She was my godmother. And she had heavy kidney involvement. And I have a sister who has discoid lupus, which is the skin version. It just means you're allergic to the sun, but it isn't in your blood or your organs. So, you know, it's definitely genetic and it's mostly women.
Well, you're doing an extraordinary job in keeping going the way you're going. I know there's more information available at arthritisireland.ie. But Louise Crowley, thank you so much for taking the time to tell us of your own personal story and best wishes for the future.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks so much.
That was Louise Crowley, Professor of Law at UCC, telling us about the launch today of the awareness campaign about lupus. And as I said, there's more information at arthritisireland.ie.
The the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.